I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is TechCentral's TCS Plus, the South African Business Technology Show, which is brought to you today by Pinnacle. Now, I'm joined in the studio by Jacques Fisagie. Jacques is GM of AI and Services, a new division in Pinnacle, for what I'm sure is going to be a very interesting conversation. I know AI is very definitely top of mind amongst South African business leaders at the moment, so I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Jacques, welcome.
Thank you, Duncan. Thank you for the time.
Pleasure. Now, Pinnacle clearly sees AI as a strategic imperative. We had Tim Humphries-Davies on the show a couple of months ago to talk about the company's AI strategy. But maybe just talk us a little bit about why a distribution company, a technology distribution company like Pinnacle, sees AI as pivotal to its future strategy.
Yeah, and I think that's a very good starting point, first of all. So typical in the channel business, distributors are known to just sell boxes. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing this huge market gap in South Africa where our customers and our resellers are asking for more. And we said, well, this is a way to start. Mm-hmm. Having more than just a box as an offering actually is a huge, it's in huge demand currently in South Africa. As you know, with the skills drain that we have in South Africa, as well as the fluctuation in market segments, having a strategic distributor with value-added services makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because as a small startup company or even established resellers, you don't always have enough pipeline or even resources to expand your business. So Pinnacle made a clear decision to say, we're going to fill that gap by becoming the first AI value-added distributor in South Africa.
Okay.
And so far, so good. The feedback I've got from our resellers, from my peers in the industry, as well as new customers saying, hey, this is a very great idea. This is something that we can use.
Okay.
And we're starting to change that image for distribution in South Africa, where we're saying, for us to be relevant in the future, we need to add value add, mm-hmm. not just sell boxes.
They just drop a box at the customer's door and walk away.
They just drop boxes, yeah. And it's a very long sales cycle as well, just to get a box at a customer. Adding value-added services, we can actually use internal, our own implementation of AI helps us to make that experience much better. So we said, hey, we're going to expand that as an experience to our resellers.
Okay, okay. So as a distribution company, you do obviously work through a network of resellers. I think you've got thousands of them out there.
Quite a lot, yeah.
A lot of these AI solutions are going to be deployed by the end user customers, the enterprises in South Africa that are interested in using this technology. Pinnacle, as a distributor, I presume, is going to work through those resellers to help service those end user customers. It's a similar sort of model.
Correct. And I think that's very important because services and distribution typically is not in the same sentence.
Yes.
Because that's what most of our resellers use to make money, is services. Mm. So now why do it at a distribution level? And I normally have a very simple way of explaining it. Services is our resellers' bread and butter. Mm-hmm. I don't want to take that. I want to put jam on top of that butter. So especially when resellers are trying to expand business and everybody's talking about AI, mm-hmm. but nobody's got, first of all, the right capacity or the right business model to actually adopt AI into the existing business model. So we offer a different approach where we talk to those resellers with that reseller to their customer and help them understand how to do this AI adoption mm-hmm. through a consultative selling exercise. And so far, so good. And that is where I see the market gap is currently, is having the right conversations with our customers via resellers. Mm-hmm. So this doesn't mean Pinnacle is selling direct. We have a complete indirect model. We only sell to our resellers. But there is a gap in the market of enabling that resellers. Mm-hmm. That's what we said we're going to fill by starting AI and services, is to look at that gap and expand that gap and progress that gap faster between customers and resellers not having an idea how to start the AI business or how to implement AI into their business from a reseller perspective to start the AI business and a capacity, but as well as a customer, where do I start to bring that into my business?
Okay. So maybe just take us through so I can get a clearer picture in my mind of how you'd work on an engagement. Let's say there's an end user enterprise that's interested in deploying an AI solution and that enterprise works through one of your resellers. Yep. You obviously provide support and services to that reseller and help them around some of the latest technologies associated with AI. Would you yourselves go into an engagement with that end user client as well to
Definitely. To
consult and to help the reseller with that relationship?
So we've come up with a 7-stage approach on how we take this with changing that way of having that conversation. So we first of all start with a workshop and a readiness assessment after that. So it's a conversation. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, the type of people in that conversation is business people. Mm-hmm. It is not specifically AI people. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding what is happening in this business and how do we implement AI in this business? What is that use case that you need to identify first inside of a business and that you don't talk to technologists? You talk to business people. So when we have that workshop, we actually say we need to get the financial guy, the HR guy, the CEO, the manager, mm-hmm. the technical manager. We get them in a room and we understand their business. And that is what our value is. As a distributor, we actually have touch with quite a lot of different types of businesses. They all do business with Pinnacle some way, somehow. So we actually have a lot of experience in talking business language with resellers and with new partners. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we start then with a readiness assessment. We then progress that to the next stage, which is then consulting. Now that we have understand where you are and sort of where you want to go, how do we actually advise through advisory services, through consulting,
right.
how to actually start from a business process improvement perspective, a data management perspective, whether it is infrastructure, on-prem, in the cloud, hybrid architecture, it doesn't really matter at this point in time. Mm-hmm. It's about understanding where to start and what is the goal. Mm-hmm. And that we do by identifying the use case. And we've got a catalog of that use cases that we've then put a program together. And we then consult based on that program mm-hmm. with our resellers, on behalf of our resellers, with our customers or with their customers. We then go ahead and we implement something like that, whether that is on-prem, whether it's a POC, whether it is a quick and easy demo on a laptop. We show that, yes, this is possible. Mm-hmm. But what's more important, what happens after that, is we show the value creation of AI. AI is not a very easy and simplistic thing to do, especially when it comes to enterprise AI. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of data management. There's a lot of security practices that need to be considered, guardrails, and also governance mm-hmm. inside of that AI about data privacy. It gets complex very easy. So we then show customers the data value out of that implementation of that AI. Once we can all agree that that is what they want, mm-hmm. we then go ahead and implement that for the customer. And we also supplement that with an enablement of that customer as well. Mm-hmm. But it's not only technology. It's also the skills inside of the business, the processes inside of that business. And we always say that in the AI industry, AI will not replace people. But the person that understands and use AI will replace the person that doesn't embrace AI. Mm-hmm. So that is quite an exercise to get people to understand that, hey, I need to enable myself with AI, but I don't know where. Mm. So hand over an enablement of that AI system, solution, whatever you want to call it, at a customer is very important. And that's our 7 steps that we use to change that conversation from a working, usable, valuable implementation of enterprise AI.
Mm-hmm. I was interested in what you said about this not necessarily being driven by the usual suspects in the organization, yep. like the IT department. And I know that marketing teams particularly are very excited about generative AI because it allows them to do all sorts of interesting things more quickly than they could before. But what are some of the use cases that you're seeing amongst corporates in South Africa? What are some of the things that they're looking for yep. out of this technology?
So funny enough, it's about business improvement, process improvement.
Oh, yes.
And I think that is where a lot of resellers are struggling. Mm-hmm. They are implementing and talking to their customers about having an AI solution direct to the customer. It's a daunting conversation. Mm-hmm. Even us as Pinnacle, our first implementation of AI is internal. Mm-hmm. So the first implementation in my mind for generative AI is using the data that they have to improve the internal use their internal efficiency. Mm-hmm. And that is for them also to be more comfortable with an AI. Because if you're comfortable with it, you'll sell it much easier. And you'll get a much faster route to market as well using AI. So generative AI, we see, especially in enterprise environments, it is to get more insight into data. It is to actually help augment your workforce performance.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started as well this business, I heavily utilized ChatGPT for basic transcription of business plans. I had to still go and make sure that it's safe, but it actually made my workload much less. But it also gave me a better score with my boss.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, the implementation of generative AI in our mind is first start with an internal use case. And then from there, you build it out. And out of that first initial use case, other use cases emerge. And that is where your front side of your AI experience comes into play. Whether it's an assistant for your customers to interact, or whether it's a chatbot for your internal salespeople to faster create quotes.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with internal first use case based on a data integrated AI.
Mm-hmm. Are you finding a lot of organizations are starting their journey by deploying Copilot from Microsoft in Microsoft 365 and then from there starting to see the power of the technology and starting to do other things with it, like, for example, starting to play around with their own large language models internally and starting to do more advanced things around AI? How do you see companies initially start to deploy this?
So the ecosystem of Copilot is actually bigger than we think in South Africa.
Yeah.
And that is a very easy way to start and experience AI. And it's doing very great. Customers love it.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprises, on the other hand, they are concerned about, again, data privacy. So they're also concerned about the right governance when it comes to using Copilot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very good taste of AI. Corporates are embracing it. Even Pinnacle, we used it. We're now in a process of building our own AI. What I like about Copilot is it's quick and easy.
Yeah.
It's very extremely user-friendly, but it also provides effective results.
Mm.
The biggest challenge we have now is to get there, you might need to change your laptop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because your current machine is just not capable of handling it.
Or use the cloud.
Or you can use the cloud.
Yeah.
So customers are definitely doing it, but that's more from a internal use case perspective, yes, but it's not a production enterprise-ready architecture from a generative AI perspective.
Sure.
It's more a user interface augmenting workforce performance. So that answers your question.
It does, yeah. Are there specific industries in South Africa that are doing more advanced than others in deploying these
techniques? Oh, yes. And we're seeing that especially in the financial sector, as well as in manufacturing. Value chain optimization, customer engagement, as well as internal CRM and external CRM. That's one of the biggest use cases that we've seen that the heavy lifting from AI perspective comes in. The human interface is still based either on a chatbot or an NLP with an assistant. But the backend infrastructure is quite heavily liftable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Jacques, tell me how the conversations that you're having with enterprises in South Africa have changed over the last little while. I know this whole area is quite new and this division in Pinnacle is very new. But are you seeing the conversations also are evolving as time goes on, that people are starting to look to do more complex stuff with the technology?
Definitely. And again, same as a Copilot, it's quick and easy. But as soon as you get to the heavy lifting AI, it becomes quite complex. So the conversations that we're having is, and we also followed what Gartner recommended, the type of conversation to have about AI is a services-led engagement. So that's a mindset change.
Mm-hmm.
Because typically in this economic environment, resellers, they need to hit the number. Having a consultative conversation takes long. And sometimes business understands it, but they're not used to it.
Mm.
So my engagement with enterprises is more of a consultative approach where we say, let's just start with a readiness conversation. And we take it from there. That changes the game completely.
Mm-hmm.
You get more attention. You actually get faster actions out of changing that conversation. And it also moves away from the cost of AI. Enterprise AI is a lengthy process, and with that is the expectation of a higher cost.
Mm-hmm.
As Pinnacle, we've got different ways to actually get past that. It's either as a service model, a managed services model, even a subscription model for AI. And we're taking that to market to alleviate the cost issue. But first of all, it's around understanding that AI and I use this quite a lot, it's not a bottle of water. Mm-hmm. It's not something you go to a shop and you buy a bottle of water, you open it up and you consume it. It's something you buy. It's something that you build. It's something in between that, but it's a process. And having that process type of selling methodology starts with a consulting conversation, mm-hmm. a business conversation.
Okay. Do you find there's resistance at all? Are some people scared of this technology and what it might do for their organizations?
Well, so the first question I normally get is, well, I'm going to lose my job. Because the perception out there is if companies embrace AI, there will be workforce reduction. And as you know, especially in South Africa, that is a very sensitive topic. And I normally have the conversation around, it's not going to replace your workforce, it's going to enhance your workforce. And that's part of my ROI conversation. Instead of having 20 people doing quotes, wouldn't it be better to have that same person elevate himself from a blue-collar to a white-collar employee, and he starts selling? AI can automate all the normal things that he used to do, the mundane tasks of creating quotes, following up, looking at POs. I can actually do that for you. You can empower that employee to go and make more sales. So you actually retain that staff member, you upskill that staff member, and you increase your bottom line. Because now I've got more people doing more value-added services as a business to my customers. And that's why we say the implementation of generative AI is to improve workforce efficiency internally first.
Yes.
The spin-off of that is it will move to a front end from a reseller and a bottom line perspective.
I guess in the long term, though, we don't really know what the full impact of this technology is going to be on the workforce, et cetera. And while there is going to be a lot of that, I do wonder whether there's going to have to be a lot of reskilling and that sort of thing. But it'll be interesting to see what the long term impact is. And I don't think anyone really knows yet.
It's a trick question, and it's a difficult answer as well. But it's a conversation that you need to have with your resellers and with your customers, because that is one of their biggest challenges. If it's not skills or money, it's about workforce. And it's very simple. My experience just over the AI Expo over the day, we just use a normal LLM. We customized that and we gave it a personality. And we showed the people at our stand how to do it. And just the interaction that we got, they changed their mind about not being scared about AI. So AI is here to stay. We need to get used to it. And the only thing that's constant is change. That's why we said we're not just going to build AI, we're going to build AI and services, because that is a process and part of that is education. So when I have that conversation, is let us educate you and your staff on behalf of our resellers how to make this AI adoption less scary.
Yes.
Because it is scary for a lot of organizations.
Sure. Tell me a little bit about Pinnacle's key partners, specifically technology partners in delivering AI services. Which of the major international companies do you work with?
So as Pinnacle, we actually distribute more than 80 different types of enterprise products in South Africa. We're one of the big distributors in South Africa. We've got very close alliances with the top tier OEMs in South Africa, Dell, Supermicro, NVIDIA. We're very closely aligned with them. We also distribute the products. And like I explained it yesterday, distribution sits actually straight in the middle. So we have very good relationship with this OEMs because we bring that devices in. We also have very close relationship with our resellers, but we actually get access to a lot of the latest information, some of the latest thought leadership and ideas, way more than the typical reseller and user out there. So we actually advance at a much faster pace, and we do that with all our tier ones. And those guys are doing very well. If you see what Supermicro is doing in the news, I saw their share prices skyrocketed again. If you see what NVIDIA is doing, they clearly the leaders. If you look at what Dell is doing, the way that they bring all of this together, all the way from the end, the edge to the data center, these are world-class players, and we work with them in a day-to-day basis. We're personal friends. We see one another on a regular basis. And I think that is the value of having AI and services at distribution. And a lot of those OEMs, they are also restricted from a reach perspective. And we help to bridge that gap with a very good conversation starter and also with the right resources at the right place.
We've seen the demand, particularly for, and it's not just Nvidia actually. Yeah. It's Dell. It's a number of them. We've seen huge share prices spiking. Nvidia briefly eclipsed Apple as the most valuable company in the world the other day, which is just remarkable. But Dell's share price has also been going through the roof. You mentioned Supermicro Computer. A lot of this is because of the server infrastructure, the AI, the GPUs that are going into the big hyperscale cloud data centers in America, where a lot of the build-out seems to be happening. Are we starting to see similar demand in the South African market? Is there demand for GPUs from NVIDIA for local data centers, for example?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. We know of huge projects that's on its way coming to South Africa. And also the major push for that is legislation. So as you know, again, governance is very, very important in AI. So localization is becoming more and more prevalent. Mm-hmm. And you can't localize with nothing. So the invention of bringing that to South Africa is here. Mm. It's closer than we think. It's imminent. It's already here. There's data centers with large amount of GPUs already in South Africa.
Okay.
But that's expanding. But just again, when you come back to AI architecture, less than a third of that is hardware. The other third of that is software. And I think that is what the key here is. Mm-hmm. And that's why you need to change the conversation. The conversation around empowering a reseller with software compared to hardware, again, is more of a consultative approach than just a price exercise. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do at Pinnacle with our OEM partnerships, is we change that conversation to a consultative conversation and a software-led conversation. A lot of this AI does not work with software. Mm. And again, those three OEMs have top leading software stacks and capabilities and go-to-market strategies to help that adoption of AI in different layers, not only the hardware layer, but the edge layer, the data center layer, and everything in between.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys talk about, Pinnacle talks about AI solutions all in one box. Just explain what you mean by that.
And it's exactly that. Mm. So as you can hear, there's a lot of different players when it comes to AI. AI is not a bottle of water.
Sure.
It's a lot of moving components. And to bring all of that together in a experience like opening up a bottle of water is quite difficult. So, and that's when we, as a management team and exec team, when we discussed on how are you going to take this to market, we decided we're going to term it as AI in a box, everything in a box. Everything in a box from the fiber under the ground to the actual user interface for your customers. Mm-hmm. All of that we can offer either as a bespoke experience or as a service experience. So we start with a use case in mind. We determine that through our consultative process. We bring it back to an application or a human interface, whatever that customer or reseller requires. We bring that back to a tooling exercise, a platform exercise, and we provide best practice from that perspective. And we have an open approach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a specific brand or a specific methodology. We actually have expertise across both.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's very important to do this at a distribution level. We then take that back to the infrastructure required. And it's not always on-prem. It could be a hybrid architecture. You could do some of it in cloud. You can do some of it close to your data. So part of AI in box is also the concept of bringing AI to your data.
Mm.
As we all know, data is the center of AI. And currently, a lot of AI out there is the data is being brought to the AI. And that also creates a lot of anxiety, especially in enterprise AI, where we're saying AI in a box brings AI closer to you, and it takes away a lot of that anxiety. But it also gives that comfort that this is in my control. It is more measurable, and I can change the way that I get the return on investment on my AI journey. And I've read the other days, 10 out of 12 AI projects fails because of their ROI was not seen, because of the way that they implemented that AI. AI in a box solves that. It gives you a much more streamlined approach, and the effect of having it at a distributor where we can do financial services, different go-to-market strategies, it actually makes sense to do it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jacques, very often when I have guests in that chair, I ask them to maybe just look in the crystal ball and tell me what the industry or space they operate in is going to look like in 3 to 5 years. Yep. But I think that'll be a very unfair question, because in 3 to 5 years, I think this industry is going to have completely changed. So I'm going to ask you, what next year is going to look like? What are you looking forward to in 2025 in the AI space in South Africa?
So a good churn on business. The timing is now. I can see that within the next 6 months, this enterprise AI adoption is going to take off at a phenomenal speed. We're actually now at the tail end of wave two when it comes to AI. Wave three is close by. That's where we start talking about quantum computing. So the heavy lifting AI, the enterprise stuff, wave three is soon. It's close in the next 2 to 3 years. Quantum computing will become a reality. The front ends, we can still see we'll have a traditional type of computing environment, whether it's in the cloud or on-prem. That user experience is also going to change. Mm. Not only a assistant, but also metaverse, augmented reality interfacing. That's what's coming next. And how do I now expand that to smart? So a big thing that we're seeing, and I'm having a lot of those conversations, is smart building, smart cities, smart railway, smart education. AI is a huge component of that. And I think that is here more than what we think. Mm. And we're having that conversation already. And we are uniquely placed to help our resellers achieve that faster as a distributor. Mm-hmm.
Very exciting times ahead, and I'm personally looking forward to when we see the fusion, and I think it's coming very soon, of AI and robotics. I think someone like Apple or a company like it is going to introduce a smart home robot at some point soon with all of this AI built into it, and it's going to be fascinating to see how that develops. So exciting few years ahead, but looking forward to seeing what you guys do at Pinnacle and some of the changes you bring to the South African market. Jacques Versace is General Manager of AI and Services at Pinnacle. Thank you so much for sharing these insights with our audience today. Much appreciated.
Thank you for your time. I really appreciate it as well.